From the washroom nearby came the sound of running water and rattling basins. George studied the cards. "Maybe we ought to wash up," he said. "But we ain't done nothing to get dirty." A tall man stood in the doorway. He held a crushed Stetson hat under his arm while he combed his long, black, damp hair straight back. Like the others, he wore blue jeans and a short denim jacket. When he had finished combing his hair, he moved into the room, and he moved with a majesty only achieved by royalty and master craftsmen. He was a jerkline skinner, the prince of the ranch, capable of driving 10, 16, even 20 mules with a single line to the leaders. He was capable of killing a fly on the wheeler's butt with a bullwhip without touching the mule. There was a gravity in his manner, and a quiet so profound that all talk stopped when he spoke. His authority was so great that his word was taken on any subject, be it politics or love. This was Slim, the jerkline skinner. His hatchet face was ageless. He might have been 35 or 50. His ear heard more than was said to him, and his slow speech had overtones not of thought, but of understanding beyond thought. His hands, large and lean, were as delicate in their action as those of a temple dancer. He smoothed out his crushed hat, creased it in the middle, and put it on. He looked kindly at the two in the bunkhouse.
"It's brighter than a bitch outside," he said gently. "Can't hardly see nothing in here. You the new guys?"
"Just come," said George.
"Gonna buck barley?"
"That's what the boss says." Slim sat down on the box across the table from George. He studied the solitaire hand that was upside down to him.
"Hope you get on my team," he said.
His voice was very gentle.
"I got a pair of punks on my team that don't know a barley bag from a blue ball. You guys ever bucked any barley?"
"Hell yes," said George. "I ain't nothing to scream about, but that big bastard there can put up more grain alone than most pears can." Lenny, who had been following the conversation back and forth with his eyes, smiled complacently at the compliment. Slim looked approvingly at George for having given the compliment. He leaned over the table and snapped the corner of a loose card.
"You guys travel around together?"
His tone was friendly. It invited confidence without demanding it.
"Sure," said George. "We kind of look after each other."
He indicated Lenny with his thumb.
"He ain't bright. Hell of a good worker, though. Hell of a nice fella, but he ain't bright. I knew him for a long time."
Slim looked through George and beyond him.
"Ain't many guys travel around together," he mused. "I don't know why. Maybe everybody in the whole damn world is scared of each other."
"It's a lot nicer to go around with a guy you know," said George. A powerful big stomach man came into the bunkhouse. His head still dripped water from scrubbing and dousing.
"Hi, Slim," he said.
Then he stopped and stared at George and Lenny.
"These guys just come," said Slim by way of introduction.
"Glad to meet you,"
the big man said.
"My name's Carlson."
"I'm George Milton. This here's Lenny Small."
"Glad to meet you," Carlson said again. "He ain't very small."
He chuckled softly at his joke.
"Ain't small at all," he repeated. "Meant to ask you, Slim. How's your bitch? I seen she wasn't under your wagon this morning."
"She slang her pups last night," said Slim. 9 of them. I drowned 4 of them right off. She couldn't feed that many."
"Got 5 left, huh?"
"Yep, 5. I kept the biggest."
"What kind of dogs you think they're gonna be?"
"I don't know," said Slim. "Some kind of shepherds, I guess. That's the most kind I seen around here when she was in heat."
Carlson went on.
"Got 5 pups, huh? Gonna keep all of them?"
"I don't know. Have to keep them a while so they can drink Lulu's milk,"
Carlson said thoughtfully.
"Well, looky here, Slim. I've been thinking. That dog of Candy's is so goddamn old, can't hardly walk. Stinks like hell, too. Every time he comes in the bunkhouse, I can smell him for 2-3 days. Why don't you get Candy to shoot his old dog and give him one of them pups to raise up? Can smell that dog a mile away. Got no teeth, damn near blind, can't eat. Candy feeds him milk. He can't chew nothing else."
George had been staring intently at Slim. Suddenly a triangle began to ring outside, slowly at first, and then faster and faster until the beat of it disappeared into one ringing sound. It stopped as suddenly as it had started.
"There she goes," said Carlson.
Outside there was a burst of voices as a group of men went by. Slim stood up slowly and with dignity.
"You guys better come while there's still something to eat. Won't be nothing left in a couple of minutes."
Carlson stepped back to let Slim precede him, and then the two men went out the door. Lenny was watching George excitedly. George rumpled his cards into a messy pile.
"Yeah," said George. "I heard him, Lenny. I'll ask him."
"A brown and white one,"
Lenny cried excitedly.
"Come on, let's get dinner. I don't know whether he's got a brown and white one."
Lenny didn't move from his bunk.
"You ask him right away, George, so he won't kill no more of 'em."
"Sure, come on now, get up on your feet."
Lenny rolled off his bunk and stood up, and the two of them started for the door. Just as they reached it, Curly bounced in.
"You seen a girl around here?"
he demanded angrily. George said coldly,
"About a half hour ago, maybe." "What the hell was she doing?"
George stood still, watching the angry little man. He said insultingly,
"She said she was looking for you."
Curly seemed really to see George for the first time. His eyes flashed over George, took in his height, measured his reach, looked at his trim middle.
"Well, which way'd she go?"
he demanded at last.
"I don't know," said George. "I didn't watch her go."
Curly scowled at him and, turning, hurried out the door. George said,
"You know, Lenny, I'm scared I'm gonna tangle with that bastard myself. I hate his guts."
"Jesus Christ, come on, there won't be a damn thing left to eat."
They went out the door. The sunshine lay in a thin line under the window. From a distance, there could be heard a rattle of dishes. After a moment, the ancient dog walked lamely in through the open door. He gazed about with mild, half-blind eyes. He sniffed and lay down and put his head between his paws. Curly popped into the doorway again and stood looking into the room. The dog raised his head, but when Curly jerked out, the grizzled head sank to the floor again. Although there was evening brightness showing through the windows of the bunkhouse, inside it was dusk. Through the open door came the thuds and occasional clangs of a horseshoe game, and now and then the sound of voices raised in approval or derision. Slim and George came into the darkening bunkhouse together. Slim reached up over the card table and turned on the tin-shaded electric light. Instantly, the table was brilliant with light, and the cone of the shade threw its brightness straight downward, leaving the corners of the bunkhouse still in dusk. Slim sat down in a box, and George took his place opposite.
"It wasn't nothing," said Slim. "I would have had to drown most of them anyways. No need to thank me about that."
George said,
"It wasn't much to you, maybe, but it was a hell of a lot to him. Jesus Christ, I don't know how we're going to get him to sleep in here. He'll want to sleep right out in the barn with him. We'll have trouble keeping him from getting right in the box with them pups."
"Wasn't nothing," Slim repeated.
"Say, you sure was right about him. Maybe he ain't bright, but I never seen such a worker. He damn near killed his partner bucking barley. There ain't nobody can keep up with him.
God almighty, I never seen such a strong guy."
George spoke proudly. "Just tell Lenny what to do and he'll do it if it don't take no figuring. He can't think of nothing to do himself, but he sure can take orders." There was a clang of horseshoe on iron stake outside and a little cheer of voices. Slim moved back slightly so the light was not on his face.
"Funny how you and him string along together."
It was Slim's calm invitation to confidence. "What's funny about it?" George demanded defensively.
"Oh, I don't know. Hardly none of the guys ever travel together. I hardly never seen two guys travel together. You know how hands are. They just come in, get their bunk, work a month, and then they quit and go out alone. Never seem to give a damn about nobody. Just seems kind of funny, a cuckoo like him and a smart little guy like you traveling together."
"He ain't no cuckoo," said George. "He's dumb as hell, but he ain't crazy. And I ain't so bright neither.
I wouldn't be bucking barley for my 50 and found. If I was bright, if I was even a little bit smart, have my own little place. I'd be bringing in my own crops, instead of doing all the work and not getting what comes up out of the ground. George fell silent. He wanted to talk. Slim neither encouraged nor discouraged him. He just sat back quiet and receptive. "It ain't so funny, him and me going around together," George said at last. "Him and me is both born in Auburn. I knowed his Aunt Clara. She took him when he was a baby and raised him up. When his Aunt Clara died, Lenny just come along with me out working. Got kind of used to each other after a little while."
"Hmm," said Slim.